Living Stones is a weekly conversation about living a truly Catholic life. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers and Ken Hellenius help you deepen your relationship with Christ and His Church, discussing practical ways to grow in faith, participate more fully in the liturgy, and practice charity towards all.
Hello, and welcome to Living Stones. I'm your co-host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and I'm joined by my other esteemed co-host to the South Bend Chamber of Commerce, just named King of the Candy Corn, Ken Hellenius. Ken, how you doing, friend?
I am well, thank you. You know, candy corn. Wow. A friend of mine last year discovered a little something that we refer to as redneck trail mix. And so, okay, so stick with me here. You take candy corn and you put it in a bowl 50-50 with salted roasted peanuts. And it doesn't sound like it should go together, but it is the most delicious snack you'll ever have in your life. It is really? So good. Wow. And it's so far the only use I've found for candy corn, to be honest. My wife, Julie, my beloved bride, she loves candy corn. I find it too sweet on its own. And maybe that's why the adding of the peanuts, the salty peanuts, really works. But oh my gosh, candy corn. Yeah. Of course, it's the snack of the season, but it's not my favorite. But try that redneck trail mix sometime. I think it may be... Maybe that's my Thanksgiving gift to you, dear listener.
Oh, very good.
How have you been, friend? You have been traveling a lot.
Well, yeah. There was a little stretch in there where I was doing some traveling, but I haven't traveled probably for several weeks now. And and then my Advent missions were canceled because of the lockdowns in Illinois. You know, same just like we're experiencing here in Oregon now, and Washington, and California, and a bunch of other places too. So those were canceled. So I'm not going anywhere now till like the end of January.
Oh wow, okay.
So I'll be home for a while.
Wow.
Yeah. And how are things out there in South Bend?
Well, so just last week the semester wrapped up for our students. You know, we started the semester super early, which meant that we could, and then they went straight through. They didn't have a fall break. And so this last Friday was the end of finals. And now the students also will be gone for quite a while in order to have time to decompress, because it's very stressful to go for 15 straight weeks with no break, you know, of academic, you know, rigor. And of course, we lucked out that the students didn't have to get sent home at any point during the semester. We did have a period of enhanced kind of lockdown, but they were able to finish in person. And so that was very positive for the community, positive for the students, but now they're getting a very, very well-deserved rest with their family. Of course, they all got tested before they went home to make sure that we weren't sending back into the world a bunch of disciples full of sickness. Mm-hmm. But everybody basically was fine. Obviously, it's been an awkward and difficult and different situation, but school goes on and the work of learning continues in education. So South Bend is quiet again, aside from those of us who live here permanently. The students are gone. So
wow. How's the weather been out there?
So far pretty mild, which means that we know it's going to hit us good when it does come. I was chatting with our beloved producer Aaron before we started recording, and we've had some cool evenings, but still no snow as of right now when we're recording. It's been mild, but I think if you have one of those trick knees from an old football injury, it's probably going to be aching multiple points this winter because the weather's going to turn bad. So.
Oh, wow. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Not surprised. I remember it well.
Well, Deacon, you know, we've been discussing for the last 6 weeks, going on 7 weeks, a wonderful document by Pope Benedict the 15th, written over 100 years ago now. Called Spiritus Paracletus, on the life and the ministry of Saint Jerome, the greatest of doctors, as he calls him. And it's been a great great, fruitful conversation, kind of reading through this document on the renewal of biblical study, really, as well, too. And so, so I know I've enjoyed chatting about this, and I know that several of you, dear listeners, have been following along with us because you've told us on our Facebook page that you're reading along and listening. So we're glad that this is proving fruitful for you as well. So last week when we left off at the end of kind of paragraph 43, in which the Holy Father was encouraging people. He said, as far as in us lies, we shall, with St. Jerome as our guide, never desist from urging the faithful to read daily the Gospels, the Acts, and the Epistles, so as to gather thence food for their souls. So daily reading of Scripture, especially in the New Testament, is something that the Church strongly encourages and has, you know, in this case, 100 years ago, Pope Benedict XV was strongly encouraging this.
No, absolutely. And it's something we should continue to do. You know, we've talked about the importance of Lectio Divina, or just taking your, you know, waking up in the morning and having a cup of coffee, just reading a few of your favorite scripture verses before you go off to work, just to, again, have that in your mind and maybe motivate you for the day. And it's a way of keeping the Lord close to you, you know, and there's so many simple ways. I mean, there's apps on the phone now. There's just really no excuse. There's the Truth and Life Bible.
Yes.
Audio Bible where you can actually listen in the car, and they have the sound effects, so it sounds like you're like actually there. And so it's very, very, very well done.
Yeah.
So there's definitely ways to stay close to the scriptures, stay close to the Lord during these days, and you know, with technology, and or just picking up the old Bible itself, and you know, and just
cracking open the spine.
Yeah, and it really does. It's good for the mind and the heart. You know, to delve into God's word, his revealed word, to learn more about Christ and how we can incorporate him more deeply into our life every day.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that my parish was able to do this fall, because not a lot of people, you know, not everybody feels safe coming to church, even when we're not in an enhanced lockdown. And so we did small groups virtually via kind of, you know, via Skype, via Zoom. And I led a shared reading of the Gospel of Mark. And so over a 6-week period, we read through the Gospel of Mark together. And I brought in some notes and commentaries, you know, from Scott Hahn and from other, you know, trusted biblical, Catholic biblical scholars. But really, it was a chance for us to read through the scriptures together over 6 weeks, to read the Gospel of Mark, which, you know, this coming year is going to be the year of Mark as we begin a new year in our lectionary. We're beginning the year B in the 3-year cycle. And Mark is the gospel we'll read throughout this coming year. So like I like to joke, I said, now we're reading ahead of the class assignments because we've read through Mark and we're ready. But there's something amazing about reading the gospel straight through. Something, you know, on Sundays when we gather for the Eucharist at Sundays and at daily Mass, we hear little vignettes from the gospel. We hear short passages, and they're important. You know, we're listening to the parables. We're listening to the stories of the miracles, the healings, Jesus' teaching. It's important to focus and to learn these, but to read them straight through is to then see the stories in context and to see the flow of Christ's 3 years of ministry, and to see the physical movement, the journey toward Jerusalem. These are things you just don't get when you hear only a short passage on Sunday or at the daily Mass. Reading through the scriptures, through a letter of St. Paul from start to finish, through a gospel, through reading, you know, the prophets, what you get is a beautiful new appreciation for God's action among his people and for the reality of our incarnational faith, the fact that we are body and soul involved with our Lord, and our Lord loves us and came to be with us. That's something you really only get by reading it straight through.
No, absolutely. And what I love about this too is that in paragraph 45, she says, assiduous reading of the Bible by the faithful in general. Yeah, so it's not just for clerics. It's not just for priests preparing for Mass. It's not just for intellectuals. Breaking open and being fed and nurtured by the Word of God is for everyone.
Right.
You know, and right. And we should truly take advantage of that. Yes, there's, you know, there's so many things we can do with our time, but it's time well spent, you know, making that deeper connection between God's word and our life, because it actually speaks to us. When we allow that word to penetrate our hearts, it actually speaks to our life and our situation, circumstances, and our needs, and we feel more deeply connected in between Sundays.
Right.
So even though we can't get to Mass, you know, especially if you're a daily Mass goer, you know, it's just, you know, with everything going on, it's difficult to get the Mass. They might even not even be having Mass every day in your parish, but you can still stay secure in the Word. You know, the Word is always there and available for us, no matter what may be going on at the parish. And so I can't strongly recommend enough people just soaking in the Word, just immersing themselves in God's Word.
Absolutely. And this paragraph 45 is really interesting because, as you say, Pope Benedict encourages the faithful in general to read, but then he goes on to say it's especially important that the clergy, that the clerics read the scripture daily. He says he insists on it for those who are called to bear the yoke of Christ and preach his word. And it's wonderful. This encouragement that St. Jerome, you know, in some ways, encouragement is being very mild to describe what St. Jerome had to say about the importance of reading scripture every day, especially by people who are responsible to preach. He even made fun of people who claimed, as Pope Benedict says, he writes ironically to his friend Marcella about the self-righteous lack of education noticeable in some clerics who think that to be without culture and to be holy are the same thing, and those who dub themselves disciples of the fishermen as though they were holy simply because they were ignorant. I mean, Jerome has this sharp tongue, right? Mm-hmm. And he points out that later on, there's this beautiful quote, of course, that comes from St. Jerome, ignorance of scriptures is ignorance of Christ. And how important is it that those who stand in persona Christi, the ordained, the people who represent Christ in our community, if they're ignorant of the scriptures, they're ignorant of the Christ in whose name they stand there. And so Jerome goes on to say, learned clerics sin through ignorance of the Bible. And therefore, he demands of them, as you say, an assiduous reading of the text. Assiduous. What a strong word, right? That's more than just attentive. It's persistent, constant, attentive, prayerful, fully involved in what you're doing. Don't just read it to memorize, but to soak in the word, as you said, Deacon.
Yeah, and those of us who are clerics, too, are obliged to pray the Liturgy of the Hours every day.
Right.
And so there's automatically scripture in there. You know, the first reading during the matins or the office of readings is scripture, you know, going through especially the Old Testament, although there's New Testament readings in there too, but there's a very nice complement of Old Testament selections in there. And of course, the Psalms themselves.
Right.
And there's also a reading, usually from one of the letters of Paul or something, the New Testament. And I love it. You know, and I think it's really helped my preaching, too, even though permanent deacons technically are not required to pray the entire office every day, just what they call the hinge hours, which are lauds and vespers or morning and evening prayer. But from my monastic experience, I'm used praying the whole thing. And I found it very, very enriching, very enlightening. And I always look forward to reading the office every day, you know, and I always, my mind says, how is God going to speak to me today in his word? And as you think that after all these years, you know, I first started praying the office when I was 14. So we're talking about, I was like,
wow,
40 years ago, you know, that you'd be, oh man, it's boring. Or it's no, because as you get older and as you mature and things in your life changes, the scriptures hit you differently. They affect you differently. Because now you have a different perspective. You're coming from a different angle, you know, and it always speaks differently to your heart and where you are in your life. So it's never boring, you know,
right.
It's never just blah, you know, it's just this, it really comes alive, especially when things are going on in the world as well. So now you're looking at it through a different lens, a different perspective. And that's one of the, I think, the most beautiful thing I love about scripture, how really alive it is. Even after 2,000, well, if we kill the Old Testament, about 3,000 years.
Right. Yeah, you and I share that same love for the divine office, for the breviary. I was a little older. I was 18 before I started praying the divine office on occasion, you know, at first on occasion. And then, you know, it's a regular part of my life now, even as a layman. I love the Psalms. I love the as you mentioned, the readings from the Office of Readings, the antiphons, all that goes into it. I mean, one of the beautiful things for me about praying the Liturgy of the Hours is knowing that I'm reading, that I'm praying the Psalms, which is the very prayer book of the church every day. But then also we're reciting the gospel, you know, in with morning prayer, we're reciting the canticle of Zechariah from the Gospel of Luke. At evening prayer, we're praying the very words of Our Lady, you know, the Magnificat. At night prayer, we're praying the Canticle of Simeon. I mean, we're literally reciting the words, the promise of salvation that we now enjoy. And to pray with the Liturgy of the Hours is also to pray with the church, to pray with the mind of the church, and to pray literally with the hundreds of thousands of millions of others who are praying the Liturgy of the Hours right now as well.
And absolutely. Yeah.
We used to joke, you know, there was a group of us when I was a residence hall director at the University of Portland. We would pray morning prayer in the morning. We would meet a couple times a week to pray morning prayer. And we would pray, you know, around 9 o'clock is when we gathered. And we joked that it was the latest morning prayer in the world because, of course, you know, I mean, 9 a.m. most religious who are praying, religious and clerics that pray the office, they're already well into their business day by then, and we were just starting. But it was still a wonderful day, a way for us to begin our day together in praise of God and praising God in the words of the Holy Spirit. And that's something else that comes to mind. You know, the Pope Benedict here in this letter encourages daily reading of the scriptures. When reading the scriptures, we're not just reading a prose text. We're not just reading something like a novel we might pick up. We're reading the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand what the Holy Spirit wants us to hear right here and right now. As you said, Deacon, what is the Holy Spirit going to say to me right now as I pray this morning? We need to ask the Holy Spirit to open our hearts to be attentive to what we are doing. And so every time we crack open the Bible, we need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts, because that's a form of, in a way, it's a form of communion with God. We are reading the words of the Holy Spirit. We are reading God's word. We are in communion, a different form of communion than when we gather for the Eucharist, but it is truly in communion of mind and heart with the triune God. And so I love reading the scriptures and praying with them. And that's what Pope Benedict wants to encourage us to do. And it goes on in talking about biblical study in chapter 46, paragraph 46 of this document, the Holy Father encouraged the bishops to send their clerics, to send their clergy to study ever deeper the sacred scriptures. And he talks specifically about frequenting, he says, they cannot do better than this by frequenting the Biblical Institute established by our predecessor Pius X. And so it was a relatively young, the Pontifical Biblical Institute was a relatively young institution when this encyclical was written. So Pope Benedict wanted to encourage clergy to go, and certainly it's now been in existence for almost 125 years, about 120 years or so that it's been around. And so why do we study scripture ever deeper, though, is what he then goes on to talk about in paragraphs 47 and on. And he says, what in his view, being St. Jerome, we learn then from St. Jerome's example in teaching the qualities required in one who would devote himself to biblical study. But what, in his view, is the goal of such study? First, that from the Bible's pages, we learn spiritual perfection. So it's this idea that when we meditate upon God's law of the Lord, you know, it's like Psalm 119, mm-hmm. meditating upon the law of the Lord day and night. Jerome himself found there, quote, the bread that comes down from heaven, the manna containing all delights. This idea that we ourselves grow in holiness by familiarizing ourselves and deeply studying God's word. That's the first reason that we should engage in biblical study.
Yeah, and spiritual perfection is something that we strive toward. It doesn't mean we're going to be absolutely perfect in this life. Right. When Jesus says be perfect, it's a talmim in Hebrew, which means mature, whole, and complete. So immersing ourselves in Scripture as we deepen our love of Scripture, it's a way of maturing spiritually, you know, growing and maturing spiritually in our faith and our journey toward heaven. And so you're right. The first one is learning spiritual perfection. He says, secondly, it is from the Bible that we gather confirmations and illustrations of any particular doctrine we wish to defend. So that, again, the teachings of our faith are rooted in the Scriptures. We don't just make the stuff up. You know, I mean, it's either directly from the Scriptures or alluded to in the Scriptures. Like, for example, the fact that the Virgin Mary was conceived without sin doesn't actually say specifically was conceived without sin. But the greeting of the angel Gabriel in Luke's gospel, he says, "Hail, full of grace, Kyrie Katari Tomine." If you look at what the Greek actually mean there, it literally means hail, you who have always been graced, or you who have never been without grace, you know. So that, you know, that understanding there helps us to see that that Mary was the new Ark of the Covenant prepared by God to be the vessel that will contain the Word that became flesh in her. Yes. In her. So she, in the sense, as her body became a sacred vessel for the Lord, you know. And so the Scriptures help us to flesh out that teaching. You know, so we can go back and say, well, look, the word Bible is not in the Bible. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. Right? But, you know, when Paul says, you know, read the Scripture, what Scripture are you talking about? There was no New Testament. Right. He hadn't written most of it yet. So he's talking about, of course, he's talking about the Old Testament. So the Word of God develops. We have to listen to the mind and heart of the church as well. That helps us to understand. And what the beautiful thing about it is, at least plenty of room for us to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. So what I mean by that is, there's not many verses where the church says, this is exactly what this means. For example, with the Eucharist, of course, when Jesus said, you know, eat my flesh, drink my blood, he means his body, blood, soul, divinity is the Eucharist. Right. So there's several places like that where the church says, yes, this is exactly what it means. But there's plenty of room for interpretation, and you know, or not just interpretation, but like here's what I think it should mean. But how do I align my life with what this word says? For example, we talked about this before, Ephesians chapter 5, wives be submissive to your husbands, right? You know, you read that, like, I don't want to read that. You know, I don't even want to look at that. What are you talking about? You know, a woman that reads that. But what Paul is saying there is, you know, the word of hupotasso, is a word that, you know, Roman soldiers would place themselves under the mission and direction of a leader, typically a general. So Paul's saying, wives, place yourselves under your husband's mission, because his mission is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, is to die. See, so when you do a little bit of study of Scripture, it helps open the Scriptures in new ways and deeper understandings with the direct correlation of how does this fit into my life every day.
Yes.
That's the thing. You have to make a connection between your Scripture and life, or else it's just pages on a words on a page.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have any import or any meaning in my life. But that's what the Scriptures are specifically designed to do, to touch us, to move us, to form us, to shape us more and more into the image and likeness of God.
That's awesome, because that flows directly into the last point that Pope Benedict XV makes. He says, lastly, the real value of the Bible is for our preaching, if the latter is to be fruitful. Now, I, as a layman, don't have as much experience on this. I mean, you know, I spent time as a member of the Order of Preachers, so I did some preaching, you know, student preaching. But tell me, from your perspective, in just a few moments, since, believe it or not, we're almost at the end of our time together, how does the Scripture inform your preaching?
Well, we're talking about preaching at Mass, right? Or preaching out, even outside of Mass. So within Mass, obviously, you know, I soak in God's Word. And my job during the homilies, how do I take the scriptures and connect them to the everyday lived experience.
Yes.
So people can say, okay, oh, now I see how Jesus' words, you know, are affecting me in my life today, 2,000 years later after these words were written.
Right.
But then outside of that, like at conferences or wherever retreats, wherever I'm speaking, is the same thing, except, you know, and it's much broader. Because I may be speaking to people who haven't gone to Mass in a long time.
Right.
I mean, I may even be in a situation where it's adversarial, you know, where some people are pushing back because the truth convicts. The truth, they're hearing truth. They're so used to hearing the voice of the culture. When they start to hear truth, when they start to hear God's word being preached in a way that touches their heart, you know, they get uncomfortable because the heart is saying, oh, you know, you want to turn back. You know, you want truth. And they're fighting it because they're so used to the messages of the culture. And so that truth convicts. And we cannot be afraid to do that. You know, Jesus, you think I've come to bring peace? No, I've come to bring the sword. You know, because, yeah. You know, the word of God is a two-edged sword, you know, that talks about in Psalm 149, you know, that word of God is a two-edged sword. So we have to challenge people with the word. We also have to bring them into deeper intimacy with the Lord as well.
Wow. Well, that's the challenge. That's the challenge that we all have, not just those of us in the pulpit, but those of us in the pews, because we have to preach to our brothers and sisters everywhere and invite them to encounter Christ. Deacon, we've reached the end of our time for tonight, but when we gather together next week, we're going to pick up this conversation and we're going to learn about St. Jerome's approach to reading the very text of the scriptures and our study there. But until we gather next week, we invite you to connect with us on our Facebook page. We're at Living Stones Media. You can also download previous episodes of the show at materdeiradio.com. Deacon, until we gather next week, might we have a blessing?
Well, Almighty God bless you and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We'll see you next week here on Living Stones.
You've been listening to Living Stones with Ken Hellenius and Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Living Stones is produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon. For more information about this show, go to materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com.